First Baptist Church of Redmond, April 4th, 2021, Easter Sunday, John chapter 13, Two Basins, One Choice.
Please rise and join me in reading John 13:3 through 5. Jesus, knowing that the Father had handed all things over to him, and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, got up from supper and laid his outer garments aside. And he took a towel and tied it around himself. Then he poured water into the basin and began washing the disciples' feet and wiping them with the towel which he had tied around himself. You may be seated.
This message is titled, Two Basins, One Choice. How many people are familiar with this actress? She was Hedy Lamarr. She featured in David and Bathsheba as a biblical epic, but I have a slightly different spin for it. For over three decades, Paul Harvey, you know that name, made a name for himself by telling, quote-unquote, the rest of the story. Day after day, he came on our radios recounting familiar historical events and biographies of famous people. He did it with great drama, attention to detail, and impeccable timing, causing his listeners to realize there was more to those stories than we previously imagined. Based on my limited research, I don't know all of them, Paul Harvey never told this story, but it's worth telling. Hedwig Eva Maria Kessler was born in Austria. In the fall of 1914, she died an American citizen in January of 2000, recluse and estranged for adopted son. You may never have heard the name Hedwig Eva Maria Kessler before, but the world today would be a different place if she's never was alive. Hedwig Kessler was better known for the name Hedy Lamarr. If you're a fan of Hollywood in the 30s and 40s, she featured in many movies. MGM Studios touted her as the, quote, world's most beautiful woman. She was so famous and so gorgeous that over one 10-day period, at the height of her popularity, she raised over $25 million for the American war effort by selling war bonds, adjusting for inflation that would come to over $350 million today. But that's not the point of the story. Hedy was more than a movie star. It's not her beauty that changed the world. Hedy Lamarr was an inventor. I did not know it. She suggested improved aircraft dynamics to millionaire Howard Hughes. She invented a tablet that dissolved in water to create carbonated drinks. And most importantly, she came up with the idea for a radio guidance system using frequency hopping spread spectrum technology. That's hard to say. Her invention was meant to help the Navy's radio-guided torpedoes defeat Nazi jamming during World War II. Sadly, the Navy ignored it because it came from a woman. Hedy, though, believed in her work and had it patented. Lucky for us, because Wi-Fi and Bluetooth technologies based today are originally based on the principles behind radio spectrum hopping system. Hedwig Eva Maria Kessler, a.k.a. Hedy Lamarr, movie star, American patriot, and world-class inventor. And now, as Paul Harvey say, you know the rest of the story. On this Easter morning, we remember and celebrate another underreported story. The story of Jesus. He was raised in an obscure village of Nazareth, lived an unremarkable life of a carpenter's son for 30 years, and became a three-year sensation for his teachings and reported miracles, died a scandalous death on a Roman cross, and incredibly, according to numerous eyewitnesses, returned from the dead. I'd like to tell you about two basins. The entire story of the gospel can be told with two basins. I've laid them out here. Maybe the entire story of your life can be told with two basins. And the same can be told with the same two basins. We'll begin with Mark 15:3. And the chief priests started accusing him of many things. This man is, it was claimed, said he was a king. That was a Roman accusation. Jewish accusation. He won't let us pay our tribute taxes to Caesar. The Sanhedrin claimed this, and the Romans signed off on it. Now, at the Passover feast, he used to, speaking of Pilate, he used to release for them any one prisoner whom they requested. The one named Barabbas had been imprisoned with the rebels who had committed murder and a revolt. Mark 15:6-7. It was about 8:30 in the morning, the day that Jesus was crucified. Pilate investigated. Jesus would be released. But no. The Sanhedrin, the chief priests, had fomented a revolt, and he would instead be crucified. Now, when Pilate saw that he was accomplishing nothing, but rather that a riot was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. You yourself shall see." Matthew 27:24 is the scripture reference. Pilate motions for a slave. "Get me a basin of water." Pilate spat out his words. "I am innocent of this man's blood. This is your responsibility now. You have wanted it. You have chosen Barabbas. It's your responsibility. Let his blood be on us and our children," was the reply. He claimed innocence. He claimed to be a victim. He was claiming to be so important that he didn't care. He was claiming to be so powerful that he could do what he wanted to do. We see another basin. Then he poured water into the basin and began washing the disciples' feet and wiping them with the towel which he had tied around himself. John 13:5. This speaks of another basin of water. They met upstairs in a borrowed room. There was no slave. No slave. There was no slave to wash their dirty feet from the day. Jesus got down on his hands and knees and began to wash their feet. So, if I, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. John 13:14. I don't follow a church tradition that talks about, quote, Monday, Thursday. But if you've heard of it, it's based on the Latin word meaning commandment. See, Jesus commanded that the disciples prefer each other, love each other, and sacrifice for each other. That's why it's called Maundy Thursday, because it was based on his commandment they should love each other. Jesus knew peace. There was nothing to prove to anybody. He held a little longer the feet of them who no longer look him in the face for shame. They were ashamed. He served. He expected them to do the same. The two bowls are first a bowl of blaming, arrogance, pride. The second bowl is one of service, the Christian way, if I can say it. He loved them, and so he served them. For us, will we choose to take up the basin of service or the basin of control and power? Will we take responsibility or abdicate it? Will we choose to get dirty or ignores other people's needs? There are two basins. You can only choose one of them. Why do we gather on Easter? To remember Jesus' resurrection of the dead, to celebrate from forgiveness of sins. Yes, that's part of it. But remember, Jesus' death and resurrection are the means, not the end. The end only commenced when Jesus walked out of the tomb on that first Easter morning. And that end is still unfolding. Through his followers, Jesus is continuing to this day to destroy the works of the devil, to conquer unrelenting foes. It is to his faithful followers that he promises in Revelation 3:21, "To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne." Jesus' story did not end in a lowly crib or on a scandalous cross, but it ends with a glorious crown and final consummation when all things are restored according to God's original design. That restoration process is still ongoing. If you're a forgiven father, follower of Jesus, you have been a part and take a part to play in that process. It won't be easy. It never has been. but victory is assured. Jesus, our Savior, is Christ the victor. If Jesus has saved you, you're on the victor's side. Fight like it. Fight like Jesus fought to the death. Not theirs, but yours. Fight in the assurance that just as God the Father raised Jesus from the dead, you too shall be raised. Fight on. And to quote Paul Harvey, now you know the rest of the story.